and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, sponsored today by MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering greater Omaha for over 70 years. I'm your host, as always, Jake Anderson. Joining me to my right this time, Mike Sauter. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. I normally sit on the left.
I know. It's shaking me, throwing me off today.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll get through it.
Well, lucky for us, it's a slow news day. Nothing to talk about. It's been a dead week. Yeah. And we were going to lead off with Donovan Williams decommitting from Nebraska, and then news broke again.
Yeah.
Scoop, Mike Sauter, Xavier Betts is actually signing with Nebraska during an early signing period.
Right.
He was able, the concern was his academics. He was able to get them raised this semester. And he'll be having his signing day ceremony tomorrow at Bellevue West?
Yeah, 7:30 in the morning on Friday is when he will sign with Nebraska. So this is according to Bellevue West head coach Michael Huffman. Frost called today, did a grade check, called the counselor, checked in on how Betts' grades were in the first semester of this year, and liked what he heard or liked what he saw. And that was enough for him to say, okay, let's just sign now. And he also, he's close on the ACT too. So
yeah.
That's probably, he just took it the last one a couple weeks ago. So hasn't gotten the test back yet, but there's a sliding scale on that. So he could, it sounds like everything is fine. Like mm-hmm. going fine or trending to be very much so fine. I know when the news broke that he wasn't going to sign during the early signing period, what, a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Everybody jumps to conclusions.
Yeah, everyone jumped to conclusions, but Huffman did say he's on track. He just, they want to wait. So now, you know, he's signing at, you know, in the morning on Friday at Bellevue West.
Nice. And I think everybody kind of saw, oh, a bunch of receivers in the class yesterday. Mm. Xavier Betts is still the marquee receiver in this class.
Yeah. With Omar Manning is a JUCO guy, but as far as the high school receivers go, he's definitely the marquee guy in the class.
Yeah.
He's an outside threat that can go up and get the ball in the red zone. They need bigger bodied wide receivers like that that are athletic and can go make plays. He's one, and Omar Manning's another. I contend if Betts was on the roster at Nebraska, even in 2019, he would have played a lot.
Yeah.
He's that good. So, obviously, a really nice thing. And I know, according to Coach Huffman, Xavier was really excited, emotional, when he found out he's going to be signing tomorrow.
And a good capper to Nebraska's class that kind of was two-minute drill, we've called it, everything, and didn't really come together last minute, but a good capper to the final two-week push that they had.
Right, yeah. It's a great way to win. This early signing period is a three-day period, so you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he's signing, you know, still in the early signing period. So it's definitely a good cap, kind of cherry on top of the class. I think it puts him at 23 signee guys that have signed. So there's still, and that was something that Scott Frost said yesterday. They want to wait, hold a couple back for some maybe transfers or you know, guys in the I guess February signing day. Give it a month here to reevaluate some guys. So that's a little bit of a.
And he obviously won't be an early enrollee. He'll be there for fall camp, finish up
second
semester of Bellevue West.
Mm-hmm.
Be there for fall camp, Nebraska.
Yep.
Well, that's one way to lead off our show. The next way is Lincoln North Star, four-star guard, shifting gears to basketball. Donovan Williams decommits from Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Said right school, wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
He originally committed to 10 miles in July 2018.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's changed since then to Fred Hoiberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the coaching change is really the impetus for the decommitment. He decommitted on Wednesday, and really it was from Nebraska's stance, from what I understand and kind of been told, is Nebraska was going to honor his commitment, no question. They still were going to honor his commitment, but they weren't going to re-recruit him. What I mean by that is they weren't going to, you know, roll out the red carpet, do all those
give
things.
Him the hard
he's
sell.
Already committed. Yeah, I guess they felt like you're already committed. Why should we have to sell you on, you know, what we have going on here? So a little bit of that, a little bit of both, you know. And Donovan is a guy that had a very good relationship, not just with Coach Miles, but with Michael Lewis at at UCLA, who was on the staff. He's the one that recruited him to Nebraska. He's the one that secured the commitment. When you look at it, you know, Donovan had a very good relationship, was used to getting a lot of attention from the staff and everything. And I think with the coaching staff change, that really affected some stuff.
Yeah, and some quotes that you spoke to Donovan yesterday. Mm-hmm. You had some quotes from him. Chris Hedy had the story. So some of his comments are interesting and speak to that. I wasn't as prioritized as I was with the last coaching staff, which kind of gave me an easier decision. And they've got their mind on what they want to build this program off of to be successful, and I don't fit it. It kind of sounds like fit was part of it, as well as...
Yeah, I mean, I think he would fit kind of how the playing style and everything. It just, you know, I guess from Donovan's perspective, he didn't... You know, I think it's more of just he wasn't feeling the attention. I think that's probably part of it. He's a good player, no question. Like, very good, definitely good enough, all those things. But I think the relationships are important for Donovan, and I don't know if he had developed one. And so he's coming back from injury. He's going to play, should play mid-January-ish. Mm-hmm. Get back on the court, and I think he probably wanted to reset things. It's kind of the perfect time if he wants to reset his recruitment.
Since he didn't sign in November, kind of open things back up. Mm. So have you heard anything from him? What's next? What might he do now that he's decommitted?
I don't know. You know, I mean, there's a couple different options. One, I'm sure he's gotten a lot of attention from people or gotten a lot of calls from coaches and whatnot. I also think it could play out a couple different ways. One is he just finds someplace, commits in the middle of the season or even after, so mid-March or something like that. Or he could play as an unsigned senior. He could play AAU or summer basketball again in April, in the early kind of period. He could play, go back out, be an unsigned guy, get, you know, some recruiting attention that way.
Similar to what David Wynn did.
Yeah, a little bit. And then even if he doesn't get, you know, the offers and things that he likes after April, he could, again, play as an unsigned senior or announce that he's going to a prep school and play in July on the summer basketball AAU circuit again. And then even... if he's announced he's going to a prep school, he could then get recruited to a place that he likes after July and end up signing and going there, you know, in August. So, or he could take a year, take the rest of this year, play all summer basketball and everything, and then go to a prep school and reset his recruitment that way too. So there's a couple of different ways this can work. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I know that a couple of mid-majors and regional kind of teams have reached out. You know, we'll see how it all ends up.
The ACL last spring won't be any type of hindrance for
him. I don't think so. I mean, he's a pretty explosive kind of athlete anyway, and a really strong, good athlete. I don't see that being a big deal at all. Yeah. I think he'll be fine. I know he's worked really hard in rehabbing it to get back to, you know, as strong, if not stronger, than he was before.
So this next one might be speculating a little bit here, and I'm putting you on the spot with this one. But old friend, former Boys Town standout, Teddy Allen, commits to Nebraska on Tuesday. Donovan Williams decommits on Wednesday. Do you think those are related?
Yeah, I mean, probably, yeah. I think part of it probably is they're both more wing players or twos. And obviously, Teddy's not going to come into Nebraska and sit behind any – like, the plan is for him to play, right?
Yeah.
So I think he Donovan probably saw that and was like, well, this is like me, you know, like my spot, maybe. Mm-hmm. So that probably has a little bit to do with it, I would say, yeah.
Okay. Well, before we continue with our other signing day takeaways, I want to take a minute here for a message from our sponsor, MD West One.
As the official team doctors for high school and college teams across Greater Omaha, MD West One Sports Med Doctors can get you back into the game stronger than ever. Meet the Sports Med team at MDWestOne.com or call 402-390-4111.
Thanks again to MD West One. You can find them at MDWestOne.com, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering Greater Omaha for over 70 years. And let's get right back into it with signing day. It was obviously a busy day yesterday. You were awake at probably 5 a.m. You were at a couple schools yesterday.
Like 6:15.
6:15. You had an update yesterday on the Wyoming signees. Mm-hmm. Kind of that budding Wyoming-Nebraska pipeline. Mm-hmm. There's three from this class. Millard South offensive lineman Cole Herbelsheimer. Mm-hmm. Columbus's Joey Brock. And Omaha Burke defensive lineman Caleb Robinson. Mm-hmm. Robinson signed, but is holding his ceremony will be in February. Mm-hmm. And they're joining a bunch of former Nebraskans on Wyoming.
Right. So Herbelsheimer, I know, fits into Wyoming's very excited about Cole and what he can bring to the table on the offensive line. He'll be an interior lineman, I would say. Mm-hmm. So you look for Caleb Robinson and Herbelsheimer. They're going to go head-to-head a lot in practices and things because Caleb's a really nice defensive lineman. Doesn't get as much credit and stuff. I mean, he's very talented. So probably not a big name. He's not real big on social media and stuff. So at one time was committed to South Dakota State. So that's a pretty good get for Wyoming. They do. They have a handful of linemen that are committed to Wyoming or been at Wyoming. C.J. Johnson I guess he retired from football due to injuries and stuff before this last season. But I think they have 7-8 guys that are on the roster from Nebraska right now. Craig Bull obviously has connection from being an assistant at Nebraska for a long time. And he recruited Nebraska when he was at North Dakota State a ton. Their staff did. So I think there's a pretty strong connection there. I look for, you know, even a guy like Ty Hahn and Isaac Gifford got scholarship offers from Wyoming and chose to walk on or whatever at Nebraska. There's definitely sort of a pipeline that's funneling there. The FCS level kids, though, there's still, there were 12 kids that signed during this early signing period with FCS schools from Nebraska, which is another high number. You have Tyson Gordon and Marcus Siegel. Tyson Gordon from SCUT, Marcus Siegel from Omaha North. Yeah,
both
sorry.
Headed up to
both
North
to North Dakota
State.
And then South Dakota State had a handful. You know, Dallas Beanham from Millard West. Why can't I think of everybody else? They had 6 or 7 guys so that committed. And some, Isaac Applegate is one. Abe Hoskins is another one from Omaha Central.
We've only been discussing 100 names over the past 3
so
years.
So anyway, they had like 7-8 guys from Nebraska, and they got Isaiah Stallbird, Nebraska former Husker walk-on, now transfer.
Continuing that Nebraska Jacks movement.
Right, yeah.
So what high numbers, what's the overlying takeaway for you from signing day this year?
You look at it, the talent is still there. Everyone always talks about, like, I'm so kind of sick of the conversation of, oh, there's not enough talent in Nebraska and whatever. I mean, when you really look at the numbers per capita, meaning population of the state as a whole, and you look at Division I, if it's FCS or FBS stuff, and even then you take in the walk-on classes, I mean, we're talking – or the kids that are walking on to Nebraska or maybe even other Division I schools, we're talking like 30, 40 kids in one class. That's a lot. Like, it's a lot. And I, you know, as far as scholarship guys, we're looking at 15-ish, 15 to 20 right now that either had a scholarship or signed or are committed to minimum FCF schools, so Division One. I think that's a really good number for a state that has 1.8 million people. It's really high, really good. So the whole narrative of Nebraska doesn't have talent, and people complain, and I see on Twitter all the time about like trying to defend it and all this stuff. I'm just so like over that. It's been forever. It's been that way. It'll never change. It just is something where I personally am like, hey, for what I do, my job is to help kind of promote, you know, the state and the athletes in the state. I just get so like, ugh, like I'm just like over that.
We need to keep working to change the perception. Right. And next year projects to be another good class for the state of Nebraska. Outside of your top two, Dickerson and Prohaska, Keegan Johnson, A.J. Rollins, Cole Payton.
Right.
And I'm sure 10 others that I'm forgetting to name.
Yeah, I mean, so you have Avante Dickerson. Just go the high major, or I guess not high major, that's basketball, but the power five. Conference, power five, six guys, whatever. So you have Avante Dickerson, Teddy Prohaska, Keegan Johnson, and A.J. Rollins. That's four that have offers right now. That's without, like, camp season and off season and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's four. Cole Payton has South Dakota State. That's five. Okay. Like, that's a pretty good jump start, specifically when the four are high-level guys, very high-level.
Yeah.
So it's similar-ish to 2018 when there was five guys that went to Nebraska.
Yep.
Or 17. Five guys went to Nebraska and 18 had four. So the numbers are there. Feels like it's still trending in the right direction and everything like that.
Which is good for all of us. Good for high school football fans in Nebraska.
Right.
Everybody benefits.
Right, for sure.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit here. Looking ahead, we don't know the teams yet. We don't know where they'll slot in on the bracket. We have an idea what time teams will be playing. Let's talk overall. Metro Conference Tournament.
Yeah.
Ralston Arena. What's great about that environment?
One is you can just sit in the gym and watch games all day, like I'll be doing. So, like, first one starts at 8:30, and then first one's at 8:30 in the morning, and the last one's at 8:45 at night. And sometimes there's overtimes and times change and move, and it's hard to keep that thing on schedule. But boys and girls both playing at Ralston Arena, besides the bunny bracket games. Now, there are two bunny bracket matchups this year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year there was only one with the addition. Now you have Gretna and Elkhorn South in the Metro Tournament, and so it changes things. So those are the 27th, and then on the both the boys and girls side, and then the 28th is full day of getting after it. I think the boys are the 28th, and the girls are on the 29th or something like that. So it's very much so a lot of basketball in one location. It's really good because you can see pretty much the best play, best-ish players in the state on both the boys and girls side.
Yeah.
Girls probably extends out a little more in one gym at one time.
Right, one that of the best collections of talent outside the state tournament.
Yeah, that and the matchups are going to be pretty interesting, I think, specifically with, you know, where does Bellevue West Central get seated? I'm pretty sure everyone's going to seed Millard North first on the boys' side and Millard South first on the girls' side.
Mm-hmm.
How does that line up or fall? Millard South, I think, is the prohibitive favorite on the girls' side, and the boys' side is, you know, like, give me a semifinal with Bellevue West and Central, or a semifinal with Millard North and South, or something. Like, I'm all for those four kind of matching up.
Mm-hmm.
South and Bellevue West have a huge game this week that'll go a long way in the seeding. They waited for the Metro Tournament as far as seeding's concerned, and why it's taking so long. They waited. They wanted to get a whole nother weekend of games to seed it correctly, or have a better idea of, you know, where teams should be seeded. Normally they have it out only after 2 weeks of the season, which is a little soon.
And I think at this point it's a better way to do it. Yeah, not having the bracket finalized is a little iffy, but this feels like we're going to get the best collection of matchups.
Yeah, yeah, the best, yeah, for sure. I think there's a, you know, it, having that, waiting that week, I think the bracketing will be a little bit more even or fair, if mm-hmm. you will. So, and the coaches are still the ones that decide on the seeding. They send in, you yep. know, where they would seed it, and then that's how it's seeded. It, media, no one else has anything to do with it. It's all the Metro coaches are the ones that decide the seeding.
Yeah. What do have you talked to any players about what they like about playing in Ralston Arena?
You know, I haven't. I guess probably just a bigger kind of environment. It kind of gives you a taste of maybe what the state tournament would be like-ish. Not, I mean, it's a much smaller mm-hmm. arena, and the pressure's not as much. But
yeah.
But there's still a lot of people that show up. There yep. is. There's a lot of fans that show up, and it's kind of fun to be
good,
there.
Good time to have around. It over a holiday break.
Right.
Get people that are free to get in and check out the basketball.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a good time to have it unless your kid's daycare is closed over the week of the holiday break like mine is.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder.
That's probably not going to be. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll be fun. Anyway.
Well, that'll be the week starting the 27th for those bunny games, mm-hmm. and then a lot of those games will be playing out the week of New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. So if you're free for your holiday break, that's a great thing to do. Ralston Arena Metro Conference Tournament. Little programming note, we'll be taking next week off for our holiday break. And then we might not be back until late, depending on Metro yeah, Conference Tournament.
Well, yeah, depending on holiday tournaments, we'll see if we can sneak one in.
But we'll be back with some great basketball discussion for you. Thanks again to our sponsor, MD West One. Until next time, happy holidays. Thanks for listening.